Our Lord, our God, we come to your presence thanking you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can come unto you through him. We thank you that you are the everlasting God, the everlasting Father. We just pray, Lord, as we open your precious word, that you would lead us and guide us in every word spoken. We'd be honoring and glorifying to your name. We just pray, Father, for your leading in those that are hearing today, that they might take in the word of truth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 1. We'll just jump right into our study today. The Gospel of John chapter 1. We're down to verse 14. And today we'll be in only one verse, this glorious verse, verse 14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh," or became flesh, "and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." When we look at this verse, we realize that in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This title is a title for our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of when a word is spoken, it represents a thought. Think of a thought that you may have without the expression of a word to show forth that thought. It's very hard to express those very thoughts. So let's think of the Word of God as a title for our Savior. When we see in verse 14, "And the Word," speaking of Christ, "and the Word became flesh," we see here that our Lord Jesus Christ was the very express image of the Father, as Hebrews 1 tells us. We see that he was the one that spoke forth and, as we could say, represented the Godhead, the one true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see in the person of Christ, the Son of God, as he, as God, became flesh, he dwelt among us, John says. And he was the spokesman. We could use that terminology, as in Hebrews it says, "God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." When the Son has spoken, what else can be said? And we see here in verse 14 that Christ, the Word, became flesh. This is the incarnation of the very Son of God. We look in the Old Testament and realize that there were times such as in the book of Judges, there were different times where we see, such as back in Genesis. In the New Testament, we see Christ walking upon the face of the earth. But in the Old Testament, we see how the pre-incarnate Christ, how God came in a pre-incarnate form. He came as an angel. We see the angel of the Lord was the body of which held this one God in, we could say. It was the way that he was veiled as the angel of the Lord, the scripture says. Many times that term is speaking of the pre-incarnate Christ, as he would come and say things that would be thoughts and words and expressions of deity. So we see that in the Old Testament. Yet when we come here, and we know that by the Word of God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Christ was born of a virgin, and that he came and fulfilled the Old Testament, he came to die upon the cross for our sins. And here it says, "And the Word was made," or became, "flesh." If we turn over to Philippians chapter 2, over there it speaks in a tremendous way of just what our Lord gave up to come here, we would say he did not give up his deity, but he did give up being in the realms of glory for our sake. In Philippians 2:9, or back up to verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was willing to leave glory and come as a servant, willing to die upon that cross. So this one, the Word, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now that word dwelt means tabernacle. It means such as a tent. His glory was in a tent, we could say. It was tabernacling upon this earth. We think of the tabernacle of the Old Testament, how it was a structure where they went to worship and offer up sacrifices. We think of the tent of his body when he became man. Christ tabernacled. He dwelt amongst us. This was God manifest in the flesh. And it goes on saying, we beheld his glory. You know, John, the same writer of the Gospel, John said later in 1 John, we could turn over there and speak of the glorious things that he spoke there. It said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. This one, John, one of the apostles, could say, we have seen him, we have handled him. This is the word of life. This is the one that became flesh, tabernacled. He dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. Now, when we see here, beholding of his glory, we see one, his moral glory. The fact that he led a perfect life. God came upon this earth as man. The one who knew no sin took our sin upon himself and took the punishment from the Father, shed his blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we see that he paid the price for our sin, the one who knew no sin. So we see his perfect life. This was his moral glory. Then we see his visible glory. Over in Luke and in Matthew, we see there, and I believe also in the book of Mark, at the Mount of Transfiguration, that this one Christ went up upon the mountain. There became he became white as snow. He glowed. We see that Elijah and Moses from times past was transfigured there in front of Peter, James, and John. And we see how that this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, showed a glimpse of his visible glory as he spoke with Moses and Elijah of old. Then we go on, as it says, the only begotten of the Father, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten. This means unique, the only begotten, for we realize that he was the eternal Son. The Scripture speaks of the Father as the everlasting Father. You know, I have three children, and for me to have been called a dad or a father, I not only, it's not just to be married, I must have children. And for me to be called a dad or a father, I need to have children. So in the sense of how God in his holy word uses that terminology, the Father and the Son, for God to be called the everlasting Father, the Son must also be eternal. Ones would propose that he became the Son at the incarnation. But my friend, I would say for there to be an everlasting Father, there must be an everlasting eternal Son. And we know that this is the one, the second person of the one Godhead, the Son of God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see here in God's order that His Son went to the cross and died for our sins. As we think about the only begotten of the Father, He is the one that's full of grace and truth. We think also of how in Colossians 1:15, let's just remember this, that He's called the firstborn of every creature. Well, of course, Christ is in verse 3 of John here, chapter 1. It says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So we see Christ is the Creator. Therefore, He was not created Himself. So when He's called in Colossians 1:15 the firstborn of every creature, that's, again, a title such as rank or uniqueness. We think of how Israel, the nation Israel, is called the firstborn nation in the Old Testament, but we know that Israel is not the oldest nation. China, for example, is older than Israel, but Israel is given the title of firstborn because of its rank. It's God's chosen nation. So let's not confuse the terms here. When Christ is called the firstborn, remember, He was not created. He has always existed. From eternity past to eternity future, He's the Alpha and the Omega. Nothing before Him, nothing after Him. This is the one. It's the only begotten of the Father. Think also of how it says He's full of grace and truth. When we think of this one full of grace and truth, the word full, we think of perfection. You know, when we know the Lord is our Savior, we may be gracious toward ones. We may attempt to, by the leading of the Spirit, live a Spirit-filled life, a godly life, but it says that this one, Jesus Christ, the Word, the only begotten of the Father, He was full of grace and truth. Perfection. We as blood-bought children of God, sinners saved by grace, are not always full of grace, are we? Oh, we've been saved by grace and by faith alone. But our actions, we do not act in a gracious way at all times. We're not sinless. We have that sin nature fighting against the new nature, the new man that we have as believers in Christ. But one day we will not only be saved from the penalty of sin, but we'll be in the very presence of Christ, and we will be saved from the very presence of sin. But we know that Christ, when He was here, it was said of Him, He was, even on this earth, full of grace and truth. We see here grace of His kindness, His loving, tremendous godliness, God-likeness, for He Himself is God. Truth, we think of how in Titus it tells us that God, who cannot lie, it speaks of eternal salvation by the one who cannot lie in Titus chapter 1 verse 2. This is the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who offers salvation, the one that cannot lie. There's two things that God cannot do. He cannot deny Himself, and He cannot lie. That is the total limit of the one in heaven. If you would even use such a term, He cannot lie, and He cannot deny Himself. This is the one that's full of grace and truth. Do you know Him today? As we looked at the last time in the book of John that I was with you, back in verse 12, it said, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, or the children of God. He gives us the authority to become a child of God when we receive Him, when we're born of God. We would just close with that thought today, asking you once again, do you know Him, the only Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ? For Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody and the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.